I think my favorite part about Wade's children's sermon is that I'm guessing he didn't have to go out and find that outfit. I'm guessing that it was probably just in his closet. And, you know, and giving my son sugar. It probably doesn't really make a difference, but. Well, we are picking up in our sermon series, Questions Jesus Asked. And so today we are looking at Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 42. And this falls within Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So it is in the context of a larger sermon. So Jesus teaches on many things. But today we're highlighting these two things, loving your enemies and judging others. So beginning in verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good, and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we are in our sermon series, like I said, questions that Jesus asked. And you probably picked up on that there are quite a few questions in these short chapters. But really there are two overall categories that Jesus is questioning or teaching about. Love for enemies and judging others. And as we explore this portion of Jesus' teaching and questioning, it's important for us to remember who Jesus was, who he is. We've already explored this a little bit in this series, that Jesus was the Messiah, that he not only had a special relationship with God the Father, but Jesus himself was part of the triune God. That he was and is very much God incarnate. And so these passages, as we look at them and we explore Jesus' teaching, will help us to understand from his example what love and judgment should look like. And so I said originally that we were diving into this series in the hopes that we would gain a sense of some of the things that were most important to Jesus to gain a sense of his heart, of his person, and then how we could apply that to our lives. So Jesus, he first talks here about loving your enemies. The idea of loving your neighbor is an Old Testament concept. It's something that goes back really to the beginning of time, to love your neighbor. But this idea of loving your enemies is kind of a new concept. And here Jesus asks a series of questions. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into the pit? And Jesus is essentially asking, what about your love is going to set you apart from the world around you? What makes you look different as a Christian? And so Jesus is taking this idea of loving your neighbor, an Old Testament idea, an idea since the beginning, and expanding it even further from loving your neighbor as yourself to loving your enemy as yourself. Kent Hughes writes this. I think it's really a really good illustration of what this love looks like. He writes, "We see this in the upper room when, after washing the disciples' feet, Jesus lovingly reached out to Judas, whose heart was set on murderous betrayal. Jesus began reaching for Judas's soul by quoting Psalm 41:9, 'He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me,' a reference to the one who betrayed David and then committed suicide. The reference, with its tragic end, was meant to draw Judas back as well as to fortify Jesus' other disciples. The Savior's voice broke with emotion as he further explained what he meant. After he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, 'I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me.' And his emotion was not for himself, but it was for the loss of Jesus and what for loss of Judas and what awaited him. And it was part of the culture at the time that when you were to, in Palestinian culture, when you lifted a morsel of food from the table and you dipped it in the common cup and then you offered it to someone, it was a sign of special friendship. And so Jesus is essentially saying to Judas, I know exactly what you're about to do. And we've talked about before that Jesus, you know, he washed Judas's feet too, that he served even his enemies. But here is Jesus' demonstration of a special friendship, a special love, in spite of knowing exactly where Judas was. Jesus offers Judas the sign of special friendship. This is the type of love that Jesus is talking about when he tells his disciples to love their enemies. And so here in the Sermon on the Mount, it's towards the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The 12 would have recently been called. And here they are sitting before Jesus, hearing this teaching. And this would have been a radical idea for them. This idea of loving your enemies. Because really, in this culture of purity, there was this idea of separation between anything that would make you less than holy or less than pure. And so there were laws about avoiding other cultures and other practices, other people. And so this idea of loving your enemies to the point of extending them the symbols of friendship, I mean, this is radical thinking, countercultural, controversial. But this is the love that he challenged his 12 disciples with, and the type of love that he challenges us with. And many of you know that in the Hebrew language that there are multiple, in the Greek language that there are multiple words for the word love, and they all mean a little bit different things. Here, Jesus is using the word for agape love, the type of love that is a type of love that is chosen, that is that you choose to engage with. It's not a natural love, but one that you have to work for. Deliberate, rooted in the will, a love by choice. So it's something that you are choosing to love. Jesus, as I said, he modeled this with Judas, but he models this really with all of us. That all of us, at one point, were enemies of the cross. All of us had our conversion experience, or the time where we came to Christ. Maybe that happened at a young age. Maybe that happened 5 seconds ago. I don't know where it happened for you, but prior to that moment, you were living as an enemy of the cross. And even in those moments, Jesus was reaching out to you and loving you and drawing him towards you. The proof of that is that you believe in him now. The proof of his love for his enemies is you. That even as you were an enemy of Jesus and the cross, and maybe you weren't maliciously attacking him, but you certainly weren't on his side before your conversion, that Jesus sought to draw you into loving relationship with him. And so he encourages us to enter into the same type of love with the world around us. And he asks those questions, what benefit is to you? How will you look different from the world around you? And the idea is that you will look very different than the world around you. Your deeds, the things that you do, will look unnatural. They won't be the same as the things that the world does. Of course, it's easy to be nice to the people who are nice to you or the people who love you, but to go out of your way to be nice to people who aren't nice to you, to people who are rude to you, people who you might consider enemies. Go out of your way to demonstrate your love for them. Your words will be different than those of the world around you. Jesus said to bless those who curse you. Imagine in our culture today a group of people who are willing, when bad things are spoken about them, to say uplifting and positive things in return. So unnatural deeds, unnatural words, and unnatural prayers. To pray for those who mistreat you. And not for your benefit, but for theirs. To pray for them, to care for them, to engage, to bring them before the Heavenly Father and say, Lord, help this person. You know, it goes against so much of what our culture is proclaiming. Right now, it seems as if our world is being torn asunder. There is all kinds of division, controversy, anger. And Jesus, he's not saying, you know, don't take a stand. He's not saying don't have an opinion. He's not saying don't have a voice, don't speak up for justice or goodness.
But what he's saying is that you should look different, and that as you respond to the world around you, that you respond in love. And he carries this idea over into the next section on judging others. And again, he asks the series of questions. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log as it is in your own eye? How do you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You know, this idea of judgment, do not judge lest you be judged, or judgment is for God alone. This is a common thing for people to phrase or to quote, this idea of not judging. But frequently we take that out of context, because even within this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that we're to judge people by their fruit. And so what Jesus is getting at right here, he's not saying that that judgment is bad. What he's speaking against is a condemning disposition, where we naturally view people from a negative perspective, or where we're constantly looking for bad things in people, where we view the world through the lens of maybe that we are better than it, or that there must be some evil in them. Judgmentalism is merciless. It attaches motives where there are none. Judgmentalism, this spirit of judgmentalism, or this behavior, doesn't allow mercy to enter into the picture, or grace. Jesus, you know, he combines this demand for this accepting disposition with the demand for a forgiving disposition. That this, it's, you know, forgive and you'll be forgiven. And it's not that that by forgiving other people you're accepting forgiveness, but it's this, that you're acknowledging as you forgive other people your need for forgiveness. That we recognize that we are in the same boat as the people around us. You know, it's the great illustration that, you know, that Jesus uses here of trying to remove the speck from your brother's eye when you have the log in your own eye. What Jesus is saying is that, you know, we judge people by their fruits, yes, but we look for the fruit. That we look for the good in people. What Jesus is calling for is a spirit of generosity and giving, spirit of grace. That we look for the good in people. We look for the Christ in people. You know, this idea, how can the blind lead the blind? We're friends, we are all blind, and we are following after the good shepherd. And sometimes that means that as we grasp onto the good shepherd and we follow after him, that we stick our hand backwards and we pull other people along with us. But we can't let go of the good shepherd. We can't be the guide. Jesus is the guide. And so these ideas of loving your enemies and judgment, and if you begin to approach them you know, the way that Jesus approached them, and how you engage the world, think about what might change. What your priorities might be. Your social media presence. The conversations that you have with people. Your interactions at the grocery store. How it might impact the way that you speak to your coworkers or your neighbors. How maybe it might influence the way that you communicate about things like politics. How you might share your faith differently. Jesus is very intentionally communicating that we are supposed to look different. And that difference is part of what makes all of this convincing. What benefit is it to you? Jesus asks. And he gives an answer. In verse 35, but he says, but love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Your reward will be great. It's not that it's a small reward, it's a great reward. And that idea, that phrasing, sons of the Most High, is an expression that means that you're going to be a reflection of God. You're going to look like God. You know, and so as we engage with our world and we love our world like Jesus loves the world, and we judge people how Jesus judges the world, and we look for the good in the world around us, and I'm not saying that we ignore evil, or we somehow just brush it aside. But if your priority is looking for the bad instead of looking for the good, then maybe you need to change your priority a little bit and find the good and highlight that and point to Jesus. Make that your priority. So I have four questions for you. How will you be set apart from the world? What makes you different? Question two, how will your love look different? Question three, how will your judgment look different? And question four, will your love and judgment draw people to Christ or drive them away? We are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world around us. The good news of Jesus Christ with the world around us. And that good news is that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners like me and you. That we all wrestle with sin. And our sins are individual to us all. And we are commanded to destroy sin. But the means by which sin is destroyed is through the work of Jesus Christ. And so if we want to destroy sin in our lives or in the lives of others, we draw them towards Christ. Because He alone is the one that can defeat sin and death. So whatever means necessary it takes to help people understand just how much Jesus loves them, because Jesus has a pretty good track record of accomplishing what he says he's going to accomplish. And if Jesus decides to save somebody, they will be saved. And he simply asks us, will you participate in that? Do you want to play a role? Do you want to help show people what my love looks like? And that's what these verses are about. And really, it should be pretty easy to love people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that despite our humanity, our sinfulness, our constant rebellion, that you continue to step into our lives and offer forgiveness and grace and love. Time and time and time and time again. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to have a deeper level of understanding and appreciation for that. So that as we engage with the world around us, that we would have a deeper appreciation and love for them, and that we would draw them towards you through the power of your Spirit. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.